The Mishnah, Daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis, and we've already learned the Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amid Beis about the status of the father and his credibility to testify on his son, that his son is a mamzer. We touched on the question of whether the mother has credibility to testify. Now the Mishnah says, Misha Yotza Hu Ve'ishto Medina Sayam, a Kohen, as Rashi interprets it, goes out to a far off land with his wife, and after a certain period of time, unspecified, he comes back, he returns, Hu Ve'ishto Ubanov, with children. The Omar, and he declares, Isha sheyotzas imi limedina sayam harehi zo. This is the same woman that I was married to and went with me to Medina Sayam. And Elu Bonela, and these are her children. And what he means to imply is that these are miuchasos. There was no admixture of any psul. And the Mishnah establishes that he's believed. Ein tzarech lahavi raya, lo ala isha v'lo ala bonim. Both his wife and his children are assumed to be ksherim, to be miuchasim. A kohen is allowed to marry them and their offspring. However, that's only because he identifies this woman as the same woman that he went out with to Medina Sayam. Supposing he returns from Medina Sayam with children, without a wife, and then he declares, Mesa, my wife died, V'elu Banea, and these are her children, and they are Miuchasim. Meaning they can marry Kohanim. There was no mixture of chalolus, any sort of psul. Is then, since in this case he doesn't have the mother, Navi Raya al Habonim, he's going to have to establish with evidence that these indeed are the children of his late wife, and without that evidence, we cannot establish with any certainty that these children are ksherim. The question, of course, is what about the din of Yakir that we learned about before on Ayin Chesem and Beis, that from whence we derived the special credibility of a father? That's going to be an issue in the Achronim. In any event, in this case, he has to prove the yichus of the children. He doesn't have the mother in front of us. The eno mevi raya al ha'isha. He doesn't have to bring any evidence with regard to his wife, because before he married her, they checked her yichus and they established her as a miuchesses. But now, the status of the children, that's the issue, that's questionable. Because we don't even know for sure if these are the children of his late wife. Now the Mishnah continues. What about a man who marries a woman out in Medina Sayam? He went to a far off land, he comes back with a wife and children. Isha, he declares, Nasasi b'medina sayam varehi v'elu banea. This is my wife that I married out in the far off lands, and these are her children. Mevi raya al ha'isha v'ein tzarech lavi raya al habonim. We must establish the yuchsin, the kashrus l'kuhun of the wife. And once we can prove that by checking out her yichus, meaning the woman that he married out in Medina Sayam, then we can assume that these are her children. they are miyuchasim, and there's no suffix on their yichus. The reason for that is because they are kruchim achar imam, meaning that we can see by the interaction between the mother and the children that these are in fact her children. Now we have the final case in the Mishnah, a man who testifies that I married a woman out in Medina Sayyam, Mesa, she died, the Elu Baneha, and these are her children, is Tzarech Lavi Raya Al Ha'isha Ve'Al Ha'Banim. He's got to prove that the woman that he married that died, we don't know her status, they never checked her yuchsin as far as we're concerned, and therefore what is her status? But not only that, we need to establish the status of the children. We have no way, if the mother's not here, she's gone, of establishing that these are in fact her children. So it's not enough to say that, well, we checked out the mother and therefore ipso facto the children are also ksherim. And he's going to have to bring a double raya. The Gemara now is going to analyze under what circumstances and what conditions have to be met in order for the in order to waive the necessity of bringing raya and proof and evidence to establish the yichus of the bonim. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna v'kulam, in all the cases where the Mishnah says that since we know or we can investigate and establish the kashrus and the yuchsin of the mother, there's no need to investigate the children, kulam, that only applies under the following condition, bekruchim achreha. As we said before, it's clear, it's evident from the interrelationship, the interaction between the mother and the children, that these are her children. They go where their mother goes. They follow their mother. And therefore, once we've established the yuchsin, the kashrus of the mother, ipso facto, the children of this woman are ksherim. Tana Rabbanan, we can support Rav Huna from a Braisa. Kohen Sheba, in this case, a Kohen comes with his wife and his children and he declares, Isha Nasasi Medina Sayam, is maybe Raya La Isha, Vi Ein Tzarech Lavi Raya Ala Banim. Since the mother is here, once we establish with evidence after investigating it that the mother is a miyuchesses, there's no need to establish by virtue of an investigation the kashrus, the yichus of the children. They're assumed to be miyuchasim like their mother. Mevi raya al hagdolim v'ein tzarech lavi raya al haktanim. Then now the Braisa adds a stipulation. When do we say that there's no need for a raya? That only applies to the case of ketanim. Because in the case of ketanim, we have evidence and reason to believe that these are the children of that woman. Once we've established the yichus of the woman, the mother, ipso facto, we have established the yuchsin and the kashrus of the children because they're kruchim achreah. But if it's banim gdolim, and that phenomenon, that behavior pattern of kruchim achreah, you know, following her, would no longer apply with these adolescent youngsters, or call them teenagers. You don't even know for sure that they are her children. Once again, this has to do with DNA testing. You know, the poskim will deal with that. But back in the day, we would need a raya for the banim gedol. We don't need a raya to establish the ketanim, but the gedol. When do we say that it is sufficient to bring a raya and establish the mother. But the banim ketanim, you don't need a raya and evidence. That's be'isha achas, when he says he married one woman out in Netherlands. I will be shtei nashim. If he says I married two different women and one of them died, and he, the father, is claiming these are the children of the woman who's alive, is maybe Rayala Isha ve'ala bonim, and this applies both al gdolim, hagdolim ve'al haktanim. Here again, we have no way of clarifying if these children are indeed the children of this woman who's alive and well in front of us. And therefore, to establish the kashrus of the mother of his wife, who's alive, is not sufficient. Maybe indeed these children were born to the other wife, the one who passed on. And in that case, the fact that they are kruchim achreya only means that the living wife raised these children as her own, after they were orphaned from their mother, but it doesn't mean that these are her children, and therefore we need proof not just for the mother but also for the children. That's how Rashi interprets this. Now, the only question I have here is, isn't there a migu that we should believe him, the father, when he claims these are the children of this wife, because he was the one who, so to speak, and I mean this only proverbially, put his foot in his mouth and told us, revealed to us, that he had another wife? He could have denied that. Nobody would have known the difference. And therefore, let's believe him with Amigu. And if you take a look in the Me'iri quotes in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, then interpret our Mishnah as referring, our Brisa as referring to a case where both his wives are alive. And therefore, we should be choshesh that one of the wives learned to how to be makariv the children, to be moshech haslibam, and that's why they're kruchim achreha. And therefore, we have to establish the yichus of the children as well. Now, in the case of ketanim kruchim achre imam, we have a statement here of Reish Lakish, Omer Reish Lakish, and now we turn to Daf Pei Omer Aleph. Lo Shanu, this chazok of Ketanim Kruchim Acharim only applies Elevikadshi Gvul. It's not really a complete, absolute, reliable chazok. It will apply to Kadshi Gvul. Kadshi Gvul, as opposed to the Migdash and Kadshi Mizbeach, is Truma. Truma can be eaten anywhere within the bounds of Eretz Yisrael. If the father, who's a Kohen, establishes through this chazaka that the children are children to this particular woman, she is their mother, and therefore the children are not halolim, just like their mother is miucheses, so to the children, that's fine. They can eat, the children can eat truma, which is called Kodshei Gvul, that could be eaten anywhere within the bounds of Eretz Yisrael. Aval b'yuchsin, but to allow these children and their daughters to marry Kohanim, lo, the chazaka of Kruchim Achar Imam will not be sufficient. For yuchsin is always a greater standard. We raise the bar. And we're going to demand an absolute raya. Rabbi Yochanan Omar afilu biyuchsin. Rabbi Yochanan understands that this chazaka of ketanim kruchim achar imam is an absolute chazaka. It's 100% reliable, straight across the board. Lo mi boy for truma, that's kachin gvul, but even for yuchsin, and there's no hesitation or inhibition about relying on this chazaka. The Gemara explains where Rabbi Yochanan is coming from. The Azla, Rabbi Yochanan Litamei. Rabbi Yochanan had made a previous statement and a commitment to a position that explains his position here. This is the source. The Omer Abchiyo Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Malkin ala chazokos, Besolkin, Soklin ala chazokos, Sorfin al pi chazokos. Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha, the Torah relies totally, without any reservation, on chazokos. A person will receive malchus based on a chazaka. That's called a isur al pi eid echad yuchzak. In other words, we don't need edim to establish the isur, such that now if he violates this isur, he gets malchus. Even chazaka is sufficient. And we'll see soon what the case of chazaka is in terms of nida, the laws of nida. And soklin ala chazaka. We're going to establish the relationship between a father and his children based on chazakos, and as a result, there could be even a capital punishment that's meted out to someone because of this chazaka. The only nafkamina is the ein sarfin truma al pi chazakos. Let's say we have something, we don't know if it's tame, but there's a chazaka that tells me that it is tame, and that's going to be the case of a tinok who is mechapes ba'ashpa. He's always coming in contact with nevelos and shrutzim, different kinds of tuma. And now he comes in contact with truma. And the law of truma tmeya is that it requires sreifa. So since Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that we rely on chazakos, even for dini nefashos, even for capital crimes, then for sure we should rely on chazakos for truma, to establish the truma as truma tmeya. And the question is, why is that the exception to the rule? But be that as it may, when it comes swinging back to our sug of yuchsim, where we saw the chazaka of ketanim, kruchim, basar, imam, Rabbi Yochanan would certainly rely on that chazaka to establish kashrus of yuchsim, because he uses chazakas and relies on them even for capital punishment. Now the Gemara analyzes the cases that fit into these three categories. Category number one, malkin ala chazakos. And the case is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer Rabbi Yehuda, we're talking about a woman, Huchzaka Nida V'Shechinoseha. In the old days, women wore certain begadim during that Nida period, and they would not wear those same begadim during their Tahara period. For example, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Ein Le'isha Lilbosh Big Day Tzivonu Bimei Nidusa. There were separate garments, a wardrobe for her nidus period. And if the neighbors saw that she was wearing these garments that are singled out for the nida period, that creates a chazaka that she is a nida. And if now Edim will give a hasra to the Baal not to have Be'ila with his wife because she's a nida, he violated the asra and he had Be'ila Ba'ala is loka aleha mishum nida. Even though we don't have any testimony to establish that she's a nida, it's all based on chazaka. We assume, based on this chazaka, that he violated the isur nida. And not only that, if you take a look in Rashi, not here but in Ksuvis, Rashi goes a step further. He says this halach of Malkin by Huxukah Nida V'Shechenoseh applies even if she tells the Habal that she's Tahora. The Chazaka nevertheless contradicts what she says, and that is the opinion of Rashi and Ksuvis. There are other Rishonim who disagree with Rashi, and they interpret our sugya as a case where she says nothing. She doesn't contradict the warning that this Baal got that she's a nida. But in any event, one thing is clear. There are no edim that testify that she's a nida. We only know it based on a chazaka. And Rabbi Yochanan would maintain that based on this chazaka, we can give out malchus. Now we go to case number two. What's Soklin? What's Skila? Kidarabba Barav Huna Diomarabba Vahuna Ish Veisha Tinok Vitinokes Shegdilu Besocha Bayis. A man and woman are living together as husband and wife. They raise children as their own. That creates a chazaka, a premise on our part, that they are married, that these are their children. There are no tests, there's no edim to testify to that effect. All we have here is a chazaka, is niskolim zelze. If there's a violation, let's say a klola or a hakah between the son and the father, if, for example, the father would have relations with his own daughter, that's a chiv misa. If there were edim and asra, is niskolim ze al ze. And Rabbi Yochanan adds nisrafim ze al ze. Because in the case of a father who has relations with his daughter, chas v'shalom, that would be a chiv srefa, not a chiv skila. Skila would apply with regard to, let's say, a son who has relations with his mother, that's a chiv skila. But a father with a daughter is a chiv srefa, and all this capital punishment is meted out based on the chazak. The Gemara actually now tells a story where they implemented this halach. It's not just theoretical. Omar Rab Shimon ben Pazi, Omar Rab Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora. So this predates Rabbi Yochanan. Maisa beisha shebas liyushalayim. This is when they were still knowing the Bezdin Hagadol was knowing Dine Nefashos. A man and a woman came to Yerushalayim v'tinok murkav la'ak seifa. In this case, she raised this young male, this baby boy, as her own. V'hig dilato u'ba'aleha. She had relations with this boy when he grew older. He had to be at least 9 years old. And based on Edim Vasra, they put it to death. And if the young man is guilty of a crime after Bar Mitzvah, he too will be put to death. There was no testimony that this indeed is her son. Based on that chazaka, she raised the son. She raised the baby as this male child as her own son. We can give skila relying on this chazak of Korach Achrea, and that again reflects what we saw in Rabbi Yochanan. Then we get to the third case. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ain sarfin trumah lachazakos." Tiyom Rav Shimon Lakish sarfin al hachazakos. Rabbi Yochanan Omer ain sarfin. So a low Reish Lakish wants to go one step further. And if you have a chazaka that this young man, for example, this young baby, is certainly Tomei, came in contact with Nevelis or Shratzim, and now touched Truma, we will in fact, relying on this chazaka, burn the Truma. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't go that far. Why not? Ozdu l'tamayu. They have an old machlokas in the Mishnayos and Taras in the third perek that will explain their machlokas here with regard to sarfin or ein sarfin al pi chazok. Disnan, the Mishnah establishes in Taras, tinok shenimtza b'tzada isa ubotzek biyodo, Rabbi Meir mitayer v'chachomim mitamim. Let's begin with Chachomim. We'll go backwards to Rabbi Meir. Chachomim maintain that if the tinok is found right next to this dough, and now one little piece of the dough was broken off, and we find it in the hands of the tinok, which means that the tinok had a negia, touching, as it were, the isa. So the Chachomim say, we can be mitame the isa because mipnei shadarko shel tinok letapech ba'ashp. The tinok goes in and out of the ashpa, of this dumping ground, and what's in there? The nevelis and shrotzim and the tinok became tame, and by touching the Isa, the Isa became Tmeya. Vavinan ba, and we ask the question, my time, the Rabbi Meir, why is Rabbi Meir not concerned about this chazaka? Why does he recognize the power of this chazaka that the tinok was tame and therefore he's mitame the isa? Kasava, the answer is Rabbi Meir holds rov tinokos mitapchin ba'ashpa. It's only a rov umiut ein mitapchin. But there are children that don't go into this ashpa. And Rabbi Meir says the following: we can rely on Rov. The Torah commands us to rely on Rov. But the Torah also recognizes the existence of the Miut. And if we can strengthen the Miut and join hands between the Miut and some other halachic factor, then that will gang up, that combination will gang up against the Rov. The Isa b'chezkas Tara omedes. Not only that, before this Maisa, where we found part of the Isa in the hands of the Tinok, when we look at the Isa, it has a Cheskes Tara, which means assume that she is Tahor until you know otherwise. And therefore, we smoke Miutul Chazok of Israel Ruba. Rabbi Meir here formulates a very, very famous principle. He's quoted all of the Shas that by, as far as this principle is concerned, that you can take the Miut, which we said is not, it's not completely negated, it's not completely worthless, and join forces between the Miut and this Chazaka, which the Isa has a Cheskes Tara, and as a result, Israelei Ruba, the Rove, no longer is a strong, healthy Rove, and now is a Reus, or something that, in a sense, puts a dent or a question mark on the reliability of the Rove. And again, even though, if you were to isolate either of the two factors here, the A plus B that are combining together, but let's leave them separate, independent. You have the Miut. The Miut certainly would be trumped by the Rov, Al Pi Halacha. And you have the Chazaka, but we have a principle, Ruba V'Chazaka, Ruba Adif. Rov is stronger than Chazaka. But here, because of the combination of Miut plus Miut plus Chazok of the Cheskas Isa b'Cheskas Tara, that combination is powerful enough to undermine the Rov. That's what we call Israelei Ruba. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan maintain that Miuta Kiman de Lesedami. In other words, let's look at this Tinok. Forget about the Isa. Let's look at the Tinok. The Tinok has a Rov, and the Halacha upgrades the status of a Rov, recognize it as a Vadai. And if the Miut is completely negligible, again, I'm not talking in statistical terms, in terms of probability thesis, but Al Pi Halacha, the Miut is completely null and void. And what you're left with is therefore the Rov, Tinokos, Metapcha B'Ashpo, which establishes that the Tinok is Tomei. The Isa, on the other hand, is B'Cheskes Tara. When we place and position the Rov against the Chazaka, is Ruba V'Chazaka, Ruba Adif. Rov is stronger than Chazaka. So that's what we know about this machlokas between Chacham and Rabbi Meir. V'Omar Eish Lakish Mishum Rav Oshia. That din that the Chachamim established against Rabbi Meir, that the Isa is Tmeya. And why is that? Because Rov Tinokos Mitapchin B'Ashpa Zuhi Shesarfin Oles HaTruma, with regard to this Chazaka that most Tinokos go in and out of the Ashpa and therefore the Tmeim, that is a Chazaka which is so strong according to the Chachamim, what we said before, Miuta Kamanda Lesedami, that we will burn Truma based on this Chazaka. If this child, if this Tinok comes in contact with Truma, let's say a dough that's Truma, the Chachamim would say Metamim, they are Metame the Isa, and you could burn this Truma Tmeya. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Zo Chazaka Shesorfen Alea Truma, That's not the chazaka that creates a vadai and allows you to burn the truma. The truma, after all is said and done, remains a suffix. When it says the chachom amrut mitamim, means that the truma now is in a limbo state. We don't know if it's tahora or tmeya. We have to treat it l'chumra as a tmeya, but l'kula, so to speak, which is also chumra, as a tahora. We can't burn the truma because perhaps the truma is tahora. And Rabbi Yochanan is not denying that there is such a thing as sarfin ala chazaka, even in regard to truma, but that's not the case of the tinok. The tinok remains a rove, but not a vadai, and that still allows us to classify the tinok within the category, the broader category of hilchas sveikos, so that when this tinok comes in contact with the isa, although we assume that the rove of the tinok, the rove that establishes the status of the tinok as tamei, and therefore the truma became truma tmeya, that's undeniable, but to go ahead and say that the truma is truma tmeya b'toras vadai, that the status of the child is absolutely definite and certain that he was tamei based on rove, that we cannot say. So there's still some element of suffek and hesitation. And therefore, with regard to Sreifas HaTruma, we have to be inhibited. Now, the language of Rabbi Yochanan of Ein Zu Chazaka Sorfin Alei HaTruma implies that there is a Chazaka which goes as far as to establish such a Vados that will burn Truma. What's that case? So the Gemara explains, El Ezo Chazaka Le Rabbi Yochanan Shesorfin Alei HaTruma Kidisnan, that's the case in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah establishes that an Isa betoch habayis ushrotzim utzvardim mitaplim sham. We have an Isa in a house, and there are shrotzim tmeim, and there are also tzvardim which are tahorim mitaplim sham. No, they are jumping on various pieces of taros, the iso, whatever is there, and they leave, you know, they leave their imprint on the taros. And then what happens? V'nimtzu chatichos ba'iso. We find pieces of the basar, the flesh of the shrotzim and tzvardim in the iso. And now we want to know whether these pieces of basar came from the shrotzim or came from the tzvardim. So the Mishnah paskins imrov shrotzim. In other words, if most of what we have here is tamei, and the miut or the tzvardim tahorim is tmeya based on this rov, we are metamei the isa. But in the flip side, the opposite case, imrov tzvardim, if the miut are shrotzim, then tahora. And with regard to this chazaka, Rabbi Yochanan says that if this isa is truma, we can burn this truma as truma tmeya in the case where there's rov shrotzim, and that chazaka, which applies to anything in the bias when we have a suffix, because of the rov shrotzim, that's called a cheskas ruba de isa kamon. We can actually look and count and point to the shrotzim. And in the case of a ruba de isa kamon, the halacha is that rove is considered, it's upgraded to the state in which we say miuta kiman de lesser domi. There's no, we can completely ignore the miut, and therefore we can be absolutely certain that this isa became tmeya from the rov shrotzim. So what this distinction of Rabbi Yochanan, when we can be sorif based on a chazok, we're not sorif based on a chazok, what does it boil down to, so to speak? And the answer is that there are two types of chazokas. There's one chazok where you could actually count, you know, the the possible, in this case, the shrotzim, you know, you see it in front of you. The rov is tangible. It's visible. That's called a ruba de isa kaman. Then, a rov like that is so reliable, it creates a miut kaman de lesedomi. And since it's rov shrotzim, we assume, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the sheretz was metame the isa, and even though it's an isa of truma, we could burn it. Not so in the case of the mission of tinok. There, the rov that establishes the tinok as tame is what we call a ruba de lesa kaman. It's a rov not based on something we can count that's visible, but rather some sort of a psychological or behavior pattern of what children do and how they act. That's a less tangible and a less powerful rove. And the difference is that that rove still has to contend with the suffix created by the miut. And even though we're going to treat the isa as trumat mea, but not to the point in which we can burn the trumat mea. I mean, burning on the tzad that it might be tar, that the tinok was tar, therefore the isa is tahora, it's a very serious violation of the laws of Kedushas Truma to burn Truma Tahora. If on the other hand it's Tmeya, then we have to, you know, if it's Tmeya, then the mitzvah that applies to this Truma is that we have to burn it. Tanya Kavase to Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Now, we've discussed in the past, let's just review the difference between Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. This is derived from Sota. That Sota, the Torah considers, until we know otherwise, considers her guilty of the crime of adultery, even though we don't have Eidim to that effect. And why do we assume so? Because of Kinui and Stira. And this is the paradigm for Sofek Tumah Rishus HaYochid Sfeiko Tamei. If the same tumah would have happened, that occurrence in Rishus HaRabim is Sfeiko Tar. Now, we have a concept called Dovar She'ein Bo Das Lishol. And in such a case, let's say a child who's too young to be aware of the difference between Tum and Tara to come and ask the question, that's a lack of Das, then the principle is, and this is based on a Gemara at the beginning of Nida, that Bein Bershus HaRabim, Bein Bershus HaYochid, Sveiko Tar, that we are always going to be Mata the Sufik Lekula and be Matayr. Our Braisa, that's going to support Rabbi Yochanan down the line, is going to talk about two different scenarios in which, despite the fact that it's a Ein bo das lishol situation, nevertheless, the din will be sofek tuma l'chumra, even though it's ein bo das lishol. And that's what this price establishes. Shnei dvarim ein bo das lishol. In other words, there's nobody who's involved in the sofek is a ben das that we can ask him. Was it tuma? Was it not tuma? V'asom v'asom chachomim kima sheyesh b'em das lishoel. And therefore the din is going to be sofek b'rishus hayochid sfeiko tomei. Even though we said that in the dover she'ein bo das lishoel is sfeiko tor even b'rishus hayochid, but here, since the chachomim made it into a case of Yeshbo Das Lishoel, even though it's not Yeshbo Das Lishoel, therefore the halacha is going to be Sofek Tomei in Rishus HaYochid. So even though the case of Tinok and the status of Tinok in Hilchas Tuma is a case of Rov, because certainly Rov Metapchin Ba'ashpa, obviously, we cannot rely on the child to tell us whether he's Tomei, whether he's not Tomei, he came in contact with Shrotzim and Avelis or not. That's called Ein Bo Das Lishol. And therefore, Me'ikar Adin, in Rishus HaYochid, we would still establish a Sofek. and we would be metayer. But the Chachamim said that there's such a strong assumption here that the child indeed is Tomei, that we're going to go as far as to consider it as if it was Yesh Bahem Das Lishol, and therefore in Rishus HaYochid we're going to apply the principle of Safek Tomei, Sfeiko Tomei. And then that's one case where the Chachamim converted an Ein Bayim Das Lishol to Yesh Bayim Das Lishol L'chumra, as far as Safik Tumrishu Seyachid Sveiko Tomei. V'oda Cheres, and another din, a second din where we apply this principle of making the Chacham made it into Ein Bayim Das, Yesh Bayim Das Lishol, and that's the case of Oda Cheres Mayhi. That's the case of Isa Betocha Bayis. We're talking about a case where there was a doe in the house, and this was the second case that we spoke about of a rove, Aruba de Isa Kamon. Betarnagolim Umashkim Tmeim Shom. Right? There were Tarnagolim Umashkim Tmeim. The Nimtzu Nikurim. Nikurim. Here we're turning to Dach Pei Amid Beis. Nikurim Nikuvim means there are obvious simonim that the Tarnagolim were jumping on the Isa. There are little holes, you know, imprints, footmarks, if you will, footprints of the Tarnagolim in the Isa. And if you want to know whether the Tarnagolim actually came in contact with the Isa, we have reason to assume that that in fact happened. And there are other cases where, let's say, the PM Ratuv Miyamashkim Tmeim, the mouths are wet, are moist from the Mashkim Tmeim. And therefore we assume, again, that these Tarnagolim, even though they themselves would be Tahorim, but since the Mashkim Tmeim that they drank from is they were Metame the Isa. There's another case in which Piyam HaYavesh, their mouths are dry, and since the Tarnagolim of Becheskes Tara, the Isa remains Becheskes Tara, is Tolin Lo Ochlin Velo Sarfin. The Isa is in this limbo state in which we cannot burn the Isa, because the Isa is an Isa's Truma. We're still within Suffolk, so we can't burn it. But at the same time, we have to treat it, L'chumra, as if it was Tmeah. Now, the Tarnagolim, we're not sure whether they were Tmeah or not. That's classically Ein Bayim Das Lishol. And therefore, in Rishus HaRabim at least, we should be Metayer. But the Chachamim are going to consider the situation as if it were Ein Bo Das Lishol, and therefore we're going to be Machmir as far as the Isa is concerned, and Mitzad Sofik we're going to consider it as Tmeya. The Ikar Adin, before the Chachamim stepped into the picture, the halacha would be Ein Bo Das Lishol, and therefore even in Rishus HaYochid Adin would be Tzfeko Tahar. Here we're going to assume Tolin, and we're going to treat the Isa as Tmeya. Why is that? Because Chachamim established that this is a case of Yesh Bo Das Lishol, where it's Safek to Mishu Sayochid. Here we're in a bias, so we're certainly talking Mishu Sayochid, is Sfeiko Tomei. But again, only Betoras Safek. And this is all based on the Chazaka that the Tarnagolim drank from the Mashkim Tmeim, and then they jumped onto the Isa, and they were Metame the Isa. So now we have two cases in which, the first Tinok and second Tarnagolis, in which Rabbi Yochanan, and based on this Braisa, changes, so to speak, through the Chachamim's Takana, the status of Ein Bayim Das Lishol, we would say Safek Tumish Seyochid Sveikotar, into Yesh Bayim Das Lishol, as if to say that the Chachamim suspended the normal halachia that would apply Safek Tar and instead Safek Tameh. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, this chashash that the Tarnagolas was metami the Isa because the mashkim tmeim lo shanu. This thing only applies ella biofen bimashkim livanim, which means that the mashkim tmeim, like white wine that falls on a white surface, the mashkim have a color which cannot be detected, it cannot be obvious in the Isa. And it's very possible that the Tarnagol jumped onto the Isa while the mashkim were there, and it's not Nikar B'Isa. In other words, why is it that when I look at the Isa, I don't see with my eye any impact, a change of color in the Isa, as a result of the fact that the Tarnagoles had drunk these mashkim tmeim? The answer is because they're mashkim levanim, and that's why the color is not apparent. And in such a case, we have to be machmir, even though we don't see the, you know, where are the mashkim? How come we don't see any evidence of the mashkim on the Isa? But nevertheless, levanim, that's the answer, and therefore we're going to be machmir. And as we said before, the Chachamah are going to consider it as if yesh bo das lishol and safik tumim shel seyachid tameh. Aval b'mashkim adumim, if let's say there was a dye, a color, a distinct color to the mashkim, now we ask ourselves the following question: im isa de nakir, if in fact you want to assume l'chumra that the Tarnagolas drank from these mashkim and jumped on the mashkim, on the isa, when there was mashkim, you know, some moisture of the mashkim in the mouth of the Tarnagolas, is made the idea, why is it that we don't see any coloring from the mashkim on the isa? It's not apparent. And the absence of that heker, of that color, is itself a proof that the Tarnagolas did not drink from the mashkim, and therefore the Isa remains Tahora. So now the Gemara asks the following question: why do you say that the absence of the color on the Isa proves that there was no Tuma? Vidilma, perhaps, why don't we worry about the following scenario, following possibility? Namely, Blatinu Isa. Maybe the Mashkim were somehow swallowed up, mixed up into this Isa, and that's why you don't see the color. Rabbi Yochanan answers, Dover ze shoma beribi u perusho lo shoma. In other words, that distinction between colored mashkim and transparent mashkim was something that was brought down from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He was the Gadol Hador, but we don't understand it. And the Gemara tries now to offer an explanation. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't hear the explanation for this din, that otherwise this din was never transmitted to him, but there is a logical explanation. Lo shanu. When does the Brisa say that in Mashkim Adumim, then we assume that there should be some sort of coloring of the Adom, the Mashkim Adumim, the Isa, Ella, the Ofen, Mashkim, Tzlulim, Shebabua, Sheltinog, Nikarba, Aval Mashkim, Achurim, Lo. The Gemara now postulates a distinction between Tzlulim and Achurim. In the case of Tzlulim, which are pure liquids, Tzlulim, Tzol means that you could actually see it. There's no, it's not dirty, it's not filthy, it's pure. And how pure is it? You can even see a reflection of a Tinok by looking at these Mashkim, as you can see a mirror image. In such a case, we assume that the mashkim on nivlu beisa, we have to be machmir that the absence of seeing any color in the isa means nothing, because everything is balua in the isa. In other words, the isa has the power to be bolea what we call mashkim tzlulim. But if they're mashkim achurim, there's a whole lot of stuff in the mashkim, what we call lichluch, then we could be mekil and ask ourselves the question, why don't we see these mashkim? Why aren't they nikarim in the isa? After all, such mashkim achurim are not nivloim. They cannot be swallowed up and lose their impact within the isa itself. And therefore, if the Tarnagol was in fact menaker be'isa, if he had the mashkim befiv, and he jumped onto this isa, why don't we see the coloring from these mashkim? The absence of the coloring itself is proof positive that these mashkim had no contact with the isa. And now, Rabbosai, we're going to learn the Mishnah of Yichud. This introduces a whole new topic, which is going to take us pretty much to the end of the Masechta, and that is the prohibition, which might be Doraisa, of privacy between a man and a woman when there is a forbidden relationship between the two. Lo yisyached adam im shtei nashim. A man is not allowed to be alone in privacy, even with two women. If it's with one woman, that's the classical case of yichud, and according to most rishonim, that's an isur d'oraisa if she's an erva. But if it's two women, then the Torah maybe does, at least the Rashba holds, the Torah didn't prohibit this because it's not real privacy. But nevertheless, there is a fear which the Chachamim insisted on, that we have to consider, that he might have a relationship with one of the women. And you know what? Maybe he could even have a relationship with both of these women. Aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anoshim. But the Rabbanan did not go as far as to prohibit one woman with two men. Again, we're going to soon see that halacha is qualified. These have to be two men of the ksherim. But in any event, a man will be embarrassed to commit an immoral act with a woman in the presence of his friend. So that's not privacy. And even the Rabbanan achoshesh for a maisa avera. So the Rabbanan prohibited one man with two women, but they did not prohibit one woman with two men. Rabbi Shimon argues with this. Omer, he says, Af ish echad misyached im shtei nashim. Well, we're going to soon see a major qualification, but Rabbi Shimon seems to permit a man to be alone with two women. He's not afraid. He doesn't accept that the Chacham in this scenario will prohibit it. But here's the qualification. Bisman sheishto imo. He's got to be together with his wife. And here we have a major discussion amongst the Rishon and the Poskim. What does it mean, imo? Does she have to be actually there on the spot? Or it's enough that she's in close proximity? And the Poskim also claim that if he's having a yichud with two women, one of which is related to the other, one of which is related to him, some poskim say that that's asur, even though ishto imo, because, or bito imo, because they will not necessarily inhibit his action. So here we get into the whole concept called shomeres, which I guess loosely translated to English will be a chaperone. And let me read to you the language here of the Nesivos L'Shabbos. He says, Yeshomrim Sha'osar Hu L'Siyached Im Bito O Imo Imo. In other words, he's only inhibited in the presence of his wife, but not in the presence of his daughter or his mother. So this Chumrah of the Nesivos L'Shabbos argues that the concept of Shomeres, of a chaperone, which allows him to be alone in the presence of the chaperone and another woman, only applies to Ishto. That's the only relative that's Meshamer that inhibits him. But another close relative, a female relative, will not inhibit him. And then the issue becomes, what about Achoso? Can she be a Shomeres? Does she inhibit him? Or maybe not. The question is a man afraid, or we said inhibited, from violating an immoral crime of the sexual nature in the presence of another woman who he feels will be mechapa all of. You know, she'll quiet it down. She won't blab about it. In the presence of his wife, that's clear according to Rav Shimon, it's mutter, and that's going to be brought down in the poskim. But if it's in the presence of another close relative, that's going to be an issue. The yoshein imoyim befundaki mipnei sheishto mishamarto. Now Rav Shimon in the Mishnah is willing to go even a major step further. And that is that they can all sleep together, meaning in the presence of his wife, there's another woman who sleeps there in one funduk, in one hotel, if you will. And the Rabbanan didn't answer. We're not afraid that he might have an avera, his yetzara get the best of him, in this case of Fundaki, because Ishto Mishamroso, he's inhibited, he's afraid of having a Znus act in the presence of his wife. Here we have a Me'iri that I wanted to call to your attention. He writes, Bibnei she Ishto Pochedes she Zane im Isha Acheres. Ushnasa nodedes v'hi shomeres olav. Meaning that even though it's past bedtime and his wife is asleep, nevertheless she's not sleeping a deep sleep. She's half awake because she herself is a little bit afraid that maybe he'll be tempted to have some sort of relationship with this other woman. And therefore she is going to be a shomeres. Please note that in my presentation, I've assumed that Reb Shimon is matir, one man together with two women, if one of those two women is his wife. And that is the understanding of the Hagos Hagra, which you can see here right on the page. The Pnei Yoshua adds another element here based on a Rashi later on, that if one man is alone with three women, that's mutter. The Mishnah only prohibits one man with two women. And the heter of Ishto Imo would apply, as we saw in the Vilna Gaon, even though there's only one other woman there. So he's one man with two women, which would normally be also, but since one of these two women is his wife, then it's mutter. If a man was with two women and his wife, she was the third woman, then the Pnei Yeshua argues, we don't need the heter of Ishto Imo formulated here by Rav Shimon, because one man is allowed to be alone with three women. So it would be irrelevant as to whether the third woman is his wife or not. The Mishnah concludes by saying, Misyached Odom im Imo, v'im Bito, v'yoshen Imo im v'kiriv Basar. That technically a man is allowed to sleep naked in the same bed, not only with his wife, but also with his mother or his daughter. And the Mishnah qualifies that by saying that's only im higdilu, that's only if the daughter is very young, but if she's a little bit older, and we'll have to see exactly what age, then they're not allowed to sleep in a way that their bodies are connected. They're allowed to sleep in one bed. Zu yishena b'ksusa, if she's sleeping in her garments and she's wearing a wardrobe, v'zei yoshen b'ksuso, and he is wearing his garments. So it means a father's allowed to sleep in the same bed as his daughter, even if she's a little bit older, but as long as they're clothed. And the heter of kirev basar, of a father with a daughter, that's only in the case of ketanim. And the same is true with regard to a mother sleeping with her son in the same bed. In any event, the Mishnah clearly formulates the Isur Yichud of a man alone in a private place with one woman or even with two women. A woman, on the other hand, is allowed to be alone with two men. My Taima, the Gemara wants to understand this distinction. Tana de Be'el Yo, Hol v'noshim daiton kalos aleihem. Rashi explains, Nochos lispatos lavera. Meaning it's very possible that the man will successfully, if he's really very successful, I don't know what word to use, that he can seduce both women to the Navera, and if he's not allowed to be alone with two women. In the case of one woman with two men, a man would be inhibited by the presence of the other man. But in the case of two women with one man, a man might be successful in seducing both women. Minani mili. Now the Gemara asks the most fundamental question of Yichud. What is the basis in the Torah? From whence do we derive the Isur Yichud? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. He derives it from a very complicated remez. Remez l'isur yichud min haTorah. Please emphasize the words min haTorah. That implies that we're talking about a Torah prohibition. Minayin, where do we see a basis for this isur yichud min haTorah? Some sort of remez, at least. And this incurs a great deal of discussion in a very extensive literature. How could the Gemara say it's min haTorah, but then try to find a remez? Remez liyichud min haTorah, it's almost an oxymoron, it's almost a contradiction in terms. I mean, remez sounds like an isur drabbanan, it's like an asmachta. But yet you say min haTorah, you sound like you're talking about an isur Torah. So some want to say here that really the isur is d'oraisa, but it's not spelled out by the Torah. The Chachamim are given the authority to define the scope and the application of this Isur d'oraisa, and the Chacham will find a remez to support their definition of the Isur d'oraisa, but at the end of the day, we're talking about an Isur d'oraisa. Shenemar, and now we get to the parasha of Mesis, in which a person seduces other members of a city to worship Avodah Zarah, and you'll find this in Dvarim Yud Gimel, Ki Yisischa Achicha Ben Imecha. And there's a problem here. Why did the Pasuk have to mention Ben Imecha? You know, the brother who is your maternal brother? V'chi Ben Eim Mesis Avol. There doesn't seem to be any logical basis for a distinction between a maternal brother and a paternal, between Ben Aim, right? The Pasuk says Ben Imecha, right? Yeah, I said what I said before is correct. A maternal brother who's Ben Imecha and a paternal brother who's Ben Avicha, as far as Mesis is concerned. I mean, why would one brother have more of an impact than the other brother? Ella, but rather Lomar Lecha. This is a remez for a different halacha of Ben Misyached Im Imo, that it means that a son is, we'll call it Matsui Eitzel Imo, he's always in the presence of his mother, and therefore Ben Misyached Im Imo, he's allowed to be alone with his mother, and that's not a violation. And and once a son is used to or regular to be misyachid im imo, then it becomes a little bit more commonplace or feasible that he will be mesis. The also misyachid im kol arayos shabbatora. In other words, the Torah is recognizing the fact that the ben is together with his mother in a private place, and there's no violation in such a case. That's why the Torah speaks about ben imecha in the parasha of Mesis. And the language here in the Rishonim is matzui yoser, in this case of ben imo, matzui yoser shu yasis velo acher, that close relationship. And the Torah wants to teach you that in general, with the exception of Ben Im Imo, there is an Isur Yichud that applies to all Arayos of the Torah. And that's why the Torah had to reveal that a Ben is allowed to be Misyached with his mother based on the premise that with other Arayos, with other relatives, he's not allowed to be Misyached. He's not allowed to be Misyached. And after that, we have to expand that to exclude a father with a daughter from the Isur Yichud. In any event, there's going to be a machlokes amongst the Achronim whether a woman who's Asura B'Isur Lav, is she also included in the Isur Yichud? What about Chayvei Lavim? Because here the Torah speaks about Arayos. Chayvei Lavim is not usually called Arayos. And indeed, according to many Achronim, Yichud with Chayvei Lavim is only an Isur D'Rabbanan. And that's not the case of Minayin, of Remez Lisa Yichud and Torah Minayin. The Gemara interprets the Pasuk as saying that Kevan Sha'odam Mutul Siachirim Imo, since a man is permitted, a son is permitted to have Yichud and be alone with his mother, as a result, he's Matsui Etzla. The same thing, Achiv ben Imo, Matsui Etzla, the brother from his mother, they share the same mother, is very often with his mother. Al Kain, Ha Echad Mesis es Achiv ben Imo, Viseser. These two brothers who share the same mother are both very connected to their mother, right? There's no Isur Yichud, they're Matzui Etzla, and because they both have that presence and that closeness to their mother, there's going to be a possibility of Mesis, and that's what the Torah is talking about. But the Gemara wants to know, Pashtei Dekra B'Maik Siv, how do you understand this Pasuk in Mesis, in the case of Avodah Zarah, according to the simple pshat, Omar Abaye, lo mi boy kamar. The Torah wants to tell you, lo zu afsu. In other words, I want to be mechadish something. Lo mi boy ben av. This sunny lay, ve oyitz lay etzos rose, el afilu ben aim, de lo sunny lay, is ema tsaisi lay. I don't have to tell you that in the case of two brothers from the same father, where there's a certain, shall we say, tension or sense of competition between these two brothers, they both potentially could inherit their father. So it'd be very good if one of the brothers could knock off the other brother from the Yerusha, and therefore he gives his brother bad recommendations, bad advice. He tells him, you know what? Why don't you go and worship other gods? And in such a case, the premise is Bivadai Shalo Yishmalo Lavod Elohim Achirim. He, the brother, will certainly not listen and obey the recommendation, fulfill the recommendation of his other brother. You know, if there's sinna, if there's hatred and competition between them, there's going to be that suspicion. And that the Torah didn't have to tell you that. The Torah didn't have to warn this brother, don't listen to your other brother. Because since the brother's from the father, he's going to naturally, intuitively be suspicious. But even in the case, afilu ben aim delo sanile, you know, there's no competition in the Yerusha in the case of a maternal brother, aim at sayisle, there is a real chashash that one brother is going to listen to the other brother, thinking that his brother is giving him a good piece of advice, and his other brother is now successfully enticing him to worship Elohim Achirim, because his other brother is a very vulnerable a candidate for that Eitzah, because he's not careful about the Eitzah, he's relying on his brother. And the Torah added this Ben Imecha to teach us that a brother should be very careful. He has to be forewarned. Don't be acceptive to words of hasata from your own close brother. That's what the Torah wants to emphasize. Now, getting back to the Mishnah, you're not allowed to be misyachid with two women. Nema masnisin delo kirabi ki abashol. The sign you have a brisa of abashol, and this has to do with the laws of yichud as they apply in the case of burial. Let's say, for example, Rachmana Litzlan, a baby dies very soon after its birth. Is kol shloshim yom, the baby died within 30 days of its leida, is yotze b'chek. The law is that they carry this baby for burial with their hands, not in a coffin, but under the chek, under the chest, because there's no chiyuv of kavod. It's almost as if this baby was never a viable being to begin with. V'nikbar be'isha achas u'shtei nashim, and you don't need a bunch of men present at the kvura. It's not really a full-fledged mitzvah of kvura. All you need is the barest minimum, which could be one woman and two men. Avalo be'ish echad u'shtei nashim. But according to the Tanakhama of this brisa, although it's permissible to send a woman with two men for the kvura, let's say the kvura takes place out there, they have to travel out to a private place, it's outside of the city limits. But if it's one man with two women, even though as far as kvura is concerned that would be sufficient, but nevertheless we're not going to allow it because of yichud. Whereas Abishol Omer, Af Bish Echer Ushtei Nashim, there's no Isu Yichud. And the reason is because Abishol understands that that's not considered privacy. And we're not afraid that he will successfully be Mefat to both women. And therefore the halach is that one man is allowed to be alone with two women. The Gemara says, name, Afilu Tema, I can always tell you that Abishol will agree that as a general rule, one man is not allowed to be alone with two women. But here's the exception to the rule. Bishas aninus, during this period of time when we're burying a dead baby, Rachman al-Islam, That's called Shas Aninus, at a moment of bereavement. Tavir Yitzrei. The Chachomim were not afraid of the power and the force of the Yitzhahara. The Yitzhahara is broken up over here. When a person is in a state of Aninus, he is not susceptible to the temptation of the Yitzhahara. Again, that's not going to be an absolute rule. Right? We're not going to say that during Aninus all the laws of Yichud are completely suspended. But at least in this case, which is really only Derabbanan, as we said in the name of the Rashba, because there are two women here, the Rabbanan did not institute their Takana, their Isu Yichud of one man with two women. Verabbanan, why did the Chachamim, mentioned here in this price of Aninus, reject that logic of Tavrei Yitzrei, that the Yitzhahara is impotent? Savrei Lei Kirabi Yitzchak. They hold like the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak starts with a pasuk in Eicha. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma Yis Onein Adam Chai Gover Al Chatov. What purpose does a man have with all his aninus? As long as he's alive, he's got to be miskaver. He has to overcome the Yitzhahara. Is afilu b'shas aninuso shel adam yitzro miskaver olav. This pasuk is coming to teach us through this drasha that even at the time when a person is an onein, nevertheless, it's very possible for the Yitzhahara to get the best of him. We cannot trust man with his lustful temptations, even in a state of aninus. Yitzro miskaber al. So when the pasuk says gever al chatov, the word chatov is a reference to the Yitzhahara, and gever is an allusion to the obligation of man to overcome chatov, to overcome and subdue his evil inclination. And ma'is onein adam chai means as long as man is alive, no matter what situation he finds himself, he's still involved in this head-on confrontation, and he's got to really garnish all his energies to overcome the Yetzirah. V'yabashol, he was the one who formulated the principle that during a moment of aninus, the Tavir Yitzrei, the Yitzhahara, is completely broken. He interprets this pasuk in Eicha in a different way. Ki ksiv, hahu b'misraim al midosav ksiv. The case that the pasuk in Eicha is addressing is a person who is complaining about all the terrible things that befell him, and how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow bad things to happen to good people? Here's how we interpret the pasuk. Ma Yisraim al midosav. Why should a person complain to Hashem on those things that befell him? V'chi gavar al chatov. Is he such a tzaddik that he's naki michet? Gavar al chatov. He has a consistent, absolute record of overcoming his chet, his dayo. Chaim shenasatolo. Thank Hashem for the fact that you're still alive, even though you're a sinner. Why are you complaining? V'rabbonon, what do the Chachamim say about that? Meaning, the svara of Abba Shol seems to be a very good svara. But the Rabbanon insists that even at a time when man's heart is broken, nevertheless, there is a suspicion for a mikra sheyasus atzukil motzim mes. Maybe a person would disguise himself as if he is broken up and he's taking the dead body out to burial, when really what he's trying to do is allure this woman, or maybe even two women, to an avera. And this actually happened. Kiahu Maisa Dahi Issa. There was a case of a woman, davi uvda ve'afikte. What does it mean, uvda? There was a case ve'afikte, maisa shahoya, is isha yotze matinok esachay lebeis hakforos, bo biomra shu mes, v'yosa kein, kidei lavra vera, ima ish shaholach ima. In other words, there was a disguise here, a fake, a presentation as if, you know, by saying, oh, this baby died and we have to take it out to burial. This was all just a fig leaf. This was all a story that was, that was conjured up in order to achieve this goal of a man and a woman being together. Tosis has a slight variation here. Maisa b'ish sholach al kever baila v'hoyesham adam shemahalech tzivo lishmar al mes hatoli al eitz v'shomayr ze pitos ha'isha v'ovar ima avera. In other words, there was a shomer there who had another function, but when they're out there during the kfura, or out there in the cemetery at least, he seduced her. But be that as it may, the Chacham did not want to go as far as to allow, in the case of Kfura, a Yichud situation, because maybe the whole business here of Kfura is a falsification. The psychology that when a person's heart is broken with Aninus, there's no Chashash Ben Avera, that seems to be universally accepted even by the Rabbanan of Abishol. The Mishnah then goes on to say, well, Isha Achas, one woman is allowed to be alone with two men. Rav Yudam Arav, Lo Shanu, I want to limit this halacha. Ela Biksherim. If these two men are reliable, they're upstanding citizens, they're moral, they observe the laws of Jewish sexual morality. Amal Beprutzim, those who violate the law, they live a loose life, they're not committed and dedicated to the observance of the laws of tznius, is afilu be'asor nami lo. Even one woman, together with ten men are prutzim. There's no busha. They're not inhibited by the presence of the others. They're all in this together because they're all prutzim. And ave maisa, there was a situation, nebuch of an ashes ish, and they wanted to sin with her. Hotziu asara, 10 prutzim took her out, b'mita, and they faked everybody out thinking that she's dead, and they had a relationship with her. You see that prutzim, even if they're 10 of them, that's the case, nevertheless we have a chashash of an avera because they are prutzim. You cannot trust prutzim. Amar Rav Yosef, okay, the member of Rav Yosef, Bli Neder, will pick up in the next shiur. I apologize about my voice. I seem to have a very hoarse voice, maybe a bad cold, but hopefully you'll be able to tolerate it and get something out of the shiur. Thank you very much.